Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and March is Women's History Month, as you know. And here's some news that's also an opportunity to catch up with some women's history and how it's having an impact on women's futures. It's the transformation of the former Bayview Correctional Facility in Chelsea into a long-awaited hub for women's rights activists called the Women's Building. To talk about this history and the future, I'm joined by three women making this happen. Gloria Steinem, who needs no introduction. There's even a biographical play about her life running off Broadway right now. But she is a writer, lecturer, political activist, and feminist organizer. And Pamela Schiffman, executive director of the Novo Foundation, a private foundation focused on women and girls that's developing the building. And Mayoshi Benton, member of the Women's Building Advisory Circle and a senior associate at the Women and Justice Project, a nonprofit criminal justice reform organization led by women directly affected by incarceration. So welcome back, Gloria Steinem, and welcome Pamela Schiffman and Mayoshi Benton. And let's start by looking ahead 10 years from now. Gloria, give us a snapshot of what's to be happening at the Women's Building.
You know, I think this is the most unmitigated good news that I've been able to think about or talk about in years, to turn a women's prison into a women's building. When mass incarceration is what we hear about every day, but not enough, and women are being incarcerated at an even greater rate than men, at every level, to turn a women's, to create a women's building out of a women's prison is just pure positive. And I think it's also contagious. I think it may happen in other cities too. So 10 years from now, instead of a beautiful old building that was chopped up into terrible cells, there will be a place that women can work, women can meet each other, they can have childcare. It can be a positive center.
Let me follow up on one of the things you said in that answer, that women are being incarcerated at an even greater rate than men. Aren't men the overwhelming majority of those incarcerated?
Yes, they are, but in terms of rate of increase, because there are so many crimes that when women so-called commit them, they are kind of status crimes. You know, if men did the same thing, they wouldn't necessarily be convicted.
Pamela Schiffman, is there a feminist way to develop a building like this?
There absolutely is a feminist way of developing this building. We are committed to ensuring that in the development of this building, we address the intersection of every industry that we are touching. So, for example, we know that construction is an industry that has been notoriously difficult for women to break into. Less than 3% of construction jobs in New York are held by women. And for the Women's Building, we have committed to ensuring that 35% of the construction jobs will go to women working on that site. We know this is going to transform the construction site at the Women's Building, but it's also going to have an impact far and wide across this city, creating a pipeline of really excellent jobs for women in New York City.
Mayoshi Benton, can you talk about the significance of being in that building to continue the Women and Justice Project, your group's work on fighting some of the abuses that occurred right in that building?
Absolutely, I can talk about that. I think what is important to understand and to recognize is the brutality and the re-traumatization that happened in Bayview, but that continues to happen in prison across the country. And I think what is amazing about the Women Building is that they have directly impacted women, which is formerly incarcerated women and currently incarcerated women, voices and expertise at every step of the way, shaping how the building should be, what it should look like, what it should feel like, and also how we should recognize and honor the history of incarceration.
And I see, and Pamela, I'll go to you on this, that the building was so damaged by Superstorm Sandy in 2012 that the women imprisoned there were never returned after having been evacuated. So is there still work to do?
Exactly, there is. And we also know, you know, that it's so important to think about when we think about women's prisons, that women's prisons are places of enormous pain and confinement. And in fact, Bayview had the highest rate of staff committed sexual violence against those who were incarcerated there of any prison in the nation. That's men's or women's prisons. But we also know there was incredible resilience and sisterhood that happened in that building and throughout other women's prisons. And the women's building is going to be an incredible place which will build on the very resilience and sisterhood that was at Bayview in a new women's building dedicated to liberation and justice.
And Gloria Steinem, I see that San Francisco has had a women's building since the 1970s. Was that an inspiration for this, or are you familiar with what goes on there?
Yes, no, for the last 40 years that I know of, we have had Women's Building Envy in New York City, and we have tried to find a suitable women's building. There was once a whole foundation founded to look for a women's building and finally folded because they were just causing expenses and not finding a building. So this has been a very, very long search, and it is going to make a huge difference in the lives of women, including being able to have different groups headquartered and centered there. When women come from other cities or from other countries, they spend, you know, their entire day on the subway trying to get from one women's group or organization to the next. At last, there will be one center.
And listeners, we can take a few phone calls for our guests. Is the women's building something you've been looking for, maybe since the one went up in San Francisco in the 1970s? Or if you weren't around in the 1970s, something that sounds like an inspiration to you today, or any question that you would have for our guests, 212-433-WNYC. If you're involved in women's activism, would this make a difference to you to have different organizations housed in one building? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Gloria Steinem and Pamela Schiffman, Executive Director of the Novo Foundation, which is developing the building, and Mayoshi Benton, a member of the Women's Building Advisory Circle and a senior associate at the Women and Justice Project, a nonprofit criminal justice reform organization led by women directly affected by incarceration. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Mayoshi, can you talk a little bit more about how the women's movement connects up with criminal justice issues? I think many people see those as separate causes.
Oh, that's a really good question that you raised. I feel like when we think about incarceration and feminism, we don't put them two in the same category, right? But when you think about feminism, you think about the liberation of all women and girls and all people. And in order to actually achieve that kind of goal, you need to look at incarceration as a central issue, a feminist issue. And I believe the Women's Building is doing that by including voices of directly impacting women leaders every step of the way.
Gloria, would you like to build on that thought?
Yes, I think that we got educated at Ms. Magazine because we began to distribute the magazine free in women's prisons. So we have had a kind of continuous exchange of letters and dialogue. And it was so revealing in every way. I mean, first we discovered there were no libraries. And then we discovered, or there were frequently no libraries and nothing to read, you know. And then we discovered there were many fewer educational programs. And then we just discovered personal stories, the reasons why women were there. And we became convinced that under the same circumstances, we would be there. And it just established a sense of humanity and sisterhood that has made me try to visit women's prisons as much as I can and somehow keep in touch beyond these walls which should not separate us.
Susan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi, thank you. There's an issue that I don't hear talked about at all. Women fought so hard for the term Ms., and now I've noticed it's really falling out of use. I'm in my 60s and I've been called Miss recently more times than I can bear. I just was wondering if anyone else had noticed that.
Well, let's ask the person associated with Ms. Magazine.
Well, Ms., MS, is actually an old term that comes from hundreds of years ago when children were addressed as master or mistress, and therefore it doesn't have a, it doesn't disclose marital status. That's why we adopted it. And that's why Congresswoman Bella Abzug passed a bill that made it a form of address for the government. I think in general, people are now less likely to use any form of address and just more likely to use people's names. But you have a right to be called exactly what you want. And if they are calling you Miss and not Miss and not Ms., then please correct them. And if we can help in any way, we will.
Here's New in Manhattan. New, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I wanted Miss Steinem, to know that there is a group called Women in Construction. It's a group that has formed to dispute the kind of discrimination that women who work in the construction field find themselves having to put up with. And I was just thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if this group could get together and do something about building or being part of the building a woman's prison incarceration unit?
New, thank you so much. And even though you addressed it to Gloria Steinem, I'm going to ask Pamela Shiftman, since you're actually leading the development of the former Bayview Women's Correctional Facility in Chelsea into the women's building. How about plans for the construction crews?
Thank you so much. Yeah, we are so honored to be in close relationship with the Non-Traditional Employment for Women, NEW, to build the women's building. And it's absolutely right that women on construction sites face terrible sexual harassment and discrimination. And this is a real opportunity to do things differently. As the caller just before shared, while we have made progress towards full equality for women and girls, we still have such a long way to go. And that's exactly why we need the Women's Building of New York City.
Nikki in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
I'm so excited about the Women's Building. I am a former sex worker. I'm now an actress, and I have a show basically about police harassment and black women that have gone missing. In 2016 alone, over 200,000 individuals of color were reported missing in the United States. And this isn't something that's being talked about in the mainstream media. And I wanted to ask these brilliant women at the Women's Building, is there support for women like me that have ideas or want to initiate a conversation or a group to address some of the issues that are impacting our community that aren't being spoken about?
Mayoshi, will you take that one?
Absolutely. What is great about the Women's Building is that it is going to house all women and girls' rights movement. So that means everyone is welcome to come and collaborate and to build on each other's expertise and to shift the world in a way that we want to see it. So I think that's amazing. I think once the building opens up, I think you should start getting involved now. But like, definitely know that there's a place there for you.
And how do I get involved?
You get involved by going to
womensbuildingnyc.org. And we have lots of information on the website. We also are building the community every single day of the year, even until the building opens. We have a block party every year where we get to learn about all the organizations that will be doing work in the building. We have lots of events. So please go to the website to learn more information.
Nikki, thanks so much for your call. Margaret in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Margaret.
Yes, hi. I'm very honored to be speaking to this panel of amazing women. In particular, I want to give a shout out to Ms. Steinem. I've seen her play about her life twice now, and a big shout out. And everyone, please go and see it if you can. I wanted to ask in particular, I'm thrilled about the Women's Building, and I would like, as the mother of two college-age sons, whom I've raised as feminists, to ask the panel what they can say about the future of activism and feminism as it relates to the younger generation, and how the Women's Building can also serve their needs and interests, because I think one of the areas of women's activism that I've witnessed personally is that we need to bring the men in. We need to bring younger people in, and we also need to focus on how we raise boys and how we raise men.
Thank you very much.
In terms of all the recent social unrest around male, female, especially male male that they relate to women. So that's a complicated question, but I really want to talk about the younger generation as it relates to the Women's Building and to feminism in general. And thank you very much.
And thank you very much. Let's go around the room on this. Mayoshi, do you want to start on that?
Absolutely. I think what I do with my son is that I raise him in the same, like, grounding as I do with my daughter. So about respecting women and, like, respecting everyone, we're, like, addressing people by the terms that they want to be addressed by and represented by acknowledging that, you know, consent is a very big thing. And is if you're giving consent, like, you should always make sure that there's consent and that just respect goes a long way. So to come from a place of openness and welcomeness and respect everyone.
Thank you. And Gloria, I see, I guess I can say this out loud, that you're about to celebrate a milestone birthday, 85, 1 week from today.
Yes, it's shocking, don't you think?
It is. Always shocking to
I
have
tell everybody
next.
My age because I'm trying to convince myself. Right.
And clearly not slowing down. And while you're busy connecting activists in the world and connecting young feminists with what you've learned in your decades in this fight, how do you answer that caller's question?
Well, I was thinking as she was speaking that I feel so heartened and encouraged and moved and touched by younger folks. I mean, I really feel as if I just had to wait for some of my friends to be born. And now the attitudes are so different. And also, it is now a majority consciousness. When we began, it was a very important, contagious, but small group of people. And now, if you look at the public opinion polls, there's not one single issue that doesn't have majority support. I say that in celebration and also to explain why the third of the country that, or more or less, that elected Donald Trump is in backlash against this change, because they may feel as if their choices they're no longer in the majority, and I think this is a shock to them. So I just want to assure them that their choices will be safeguarded too, as long as they don't interfere with anybody else, and remind us that it is now a majority consciousness.
And yet, even within the women's movement, there are divisions. You couldn't even manage one women's march this year and ended up with a pair of competing ones here in New York.
You know, but that's a longer discussion. but I just want to say that it was all based on two articles about incidents that were years old and long over. So, in fact, there was a march that had been here for the last 2 years, and there was another march connected to the Washington March, and many people went to both.
And yet, does it make you think, or what do you think generally about sort of women's potential for collaboration as compared with men, or is that not the right way to ask the question? You know, maybe as women attain more power in society, we become a more collaborative society, or is that utopian?
No, it does become more collaborative because in a general way, women's model of behavior is the family, and men's model of behavior is the office or sports, which is more competitive. So all the research shows that the presence of women in a group means that that group is more likely to speak individually and democratically, to come to solutions that are nonviolent or not authoritative. It's just important that we represent the country when we sit in a circle.
And Pamela, in our last 30 seconds, anything you want to say to that caller about generational movement and give people one last time an opportunity to know how to connect with the Women's Building, volunteer, as some people have been asking how they can do, or whatever.
Absolutely. Well, first, I also share Gloria and Miyoshi's enthusiasm and excitement about this generation of young people who are deeply committed to racial and gender justice, and they are so involved with this Women's Building. One of the things we've heard so much is that this has to be an intergenerational space so that young people have an opportunity to connect with older people and to build this movement together and to think about the future that we want to live for our sons and our daughters as well. So women'sbuildingnyc.org, we'd love to have you involved. Please come to our block party. Please stay involved in all of the activities of the Women's Building. We need all New Yorkers. This is for everyone.
And on the Women's Building in the former Bayview Correctional Facility in Chelsea at womensbuildingnyc.org. We thank all our guests. Pamela Schiffman, Executive Director of the Novo Foundation, was just speaking. Mayoshi Benton, member of the Women's Building Advisory Circle and a senior associate at the Women and Justice Project. And Gloria Steinem, whose 1983 essay collection, Outrageous Acts and Everyday Rebellions, has just come out in a new edition, and whose life and activism is the basis of the off-Broadway play, Gloria, A Life. Hillary Clinton just saw it, I read, and you can too before it finishes its run at the end of this month. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you.